Just want to give a warm welcome to everyone that's gathered with us for the preaching of the gospel this evening. Trust that God will bless us as we come and as we seek to uplift the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the gospel. We want to read four portions from the Word of God. The first you'll find in Luke's gospel and in chapter 12. Luke's gospel and chapter 12, and we want to read together, please, from verse number 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. And it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Turn over a couple of pages into Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. And this time we'll break into the passage at verse number 11. "And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Turn over to the next gospel, John's gospel, and this time we're going to read in verse 14. All very well-known passages from the Word of God. John's gospel in chapter 14, and we'll read together, please, from verse number 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Turn over a few pages further in John's Gospel to chapter 20. John's Gospel and chapter 20 for our final reading. John 20, and we'll break in at verse number 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. And he said to he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And we trust indeed that God will bless the public reading of his word. If you are paying attention as we have read these four portions from the word of God this evening, you would have noticed that there's a phrase indeed that has repeated itself throughout each of the readings. You know, as we gathered this morning around the word of God, we closed our message and we considered three times that the Savior himself spoke, where he said, On one occasion, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In John 6 and 37, the verse closes with the words, that I will in no wise cast out. And earlier, we did refer to this verse that we've read again tonight in John 14, where the Savior says, I will come again. But as we come to the gospel this evening, we've read these four portions of the word of God. In Luke's gospel in chapter 12, I want to consider there the rich farmer. And I want us to consider what he said when he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. As we turned over into Luke 15, that well-known story concerning the prodigal, what was the words that were upon the prodigal's lips? There were these, he said, I will arise and go to the Father. John 14, as I've already mentioned, we see the words of the Savior. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. But he says this, he says, I will come again. And then, dear friends, as we draw our remarks to a close, we want to consider these words that were found upon the lips of Thomas. And I trust that there's none under the sound of my voice tonight that would ever have this, even this thought within their mind, never mind these words upon their lips. But we see Thomas, and just as the other disciples had seen the Lord, Thomas hadn't seen him, and he came out with this statement that unless he was able to put his finger into the wounds in his hand and thrust his fist into his side, Thomas said this, he says, I will not believe. I will not believe. You know, dear friends, as we come to the gospel tonight, as we look out around us into the countryside, through our country and even further afield, yea, throughout our world, as we just seem to be coming out of the other end of lockdown, strange days for each and every one of us. Things are so different. Now when we meet people that we normally are so comfortable around about, we feel so awkward. We don't know how far to stand back. We don't know how close to come. Our work has changed. Many of us work from home. Many of us have been furloughed. Different times are upon us at the present. But you know, as I look out into the world and look out into my everyday life, I can see that even on occasions like this, when things have slowed down so much, there are still those that are out and about. And there are those, and their one object in mind is to accumulate the things of time and sense. There are those that are struggling, those that have been laid off, those that have lost their jobs completely. But yet there are others, and they're doing their best to accumulate as much as they can. You know, they're nearly making profit out of another man's problem. And you know, as I looked at the word of God, as I thought of coming to Lurgan to preach the gospel, You know, I considered this man in Luke's Gospel in chapter 12, and I thought of this man, and he said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. You know, as the farmer looked out on his crops, not realizing that it was God himself who had prospered him, this farmer, he thought about the goods first, and then he went on to say that he would pull down his barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and he goes on to say, and will say to my soul. You know, dear friend, as God speaks, it's turned around. With God, it's the soul first, and it's the goods after. What does it say in verse 20? It says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul, first of all, shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, as we look at verse 20, what do we see? We see a divine assessment. Thou fool. We move on and we can see a divine appointment this night. And then we can see divine accountancy. These things be. No, dear friend, under the sound of my voice tonight, I wonder, have you ever stopped to consider that precious soul that is within your bosom? Each of us have been born into this scene of time. Yes, on a different day, on a different date, in a different year, maybe in a different time zone, maybe indeed to a different generation. But you know, dear friends, we've all been born with that awful problem called sin. You know, as we look at the situation we're in at the minute, this coronavirus, I'm not just sure how many in 10 it affects. But dear friend, tonight this awful problem of sin, it's within each and every one of us. You know, if we turn back to the start of our Bible, as we move into the third chapter there, we see the fall of man. Paul could write to the Romans and he could say that wherefore as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, dear friend, today, this farmer, his soul, it was second best in his thinking. The farm was his first priority. I wonder, as you consider moving into another week, I wonder what are the priorities that you have set. I wonder, are you considering how it is that you're going to acquire more friends and popularity? Maybe it's more riches. Maybe it's more property. Maybe it's that next promotion at work. I wonder, dear friend, would you not stop and consider your soul? You know, I wonder if this night should be your last, where would your soul be cast? Where hide your face? You know, dear friend, what about the farm when it's all done and dusted? What will it really matter? What will it matter to waken up on the wrong side of that fixed gulf and realize that you've passed over the boundary line? The last thing in your mind would be the farm and the cattle and all that goes along with it. But you know what you'd be doing? You'd be like that rich man in Luke 16. Your thought would be of your soul, and not of your soul, but of the soul of those that you know and love. What did he say? He said, go to my brethren and tell them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So we see the rich farmer, and we see here, I will pull down my barns and build greater. I trust that tonight, as we have considered this rich man, that you'll see him as a fool, just as God has called him a fool. But as we move on, as we consider the prodigal in Luke 15, I trust that this might be the words that are upon your lips even today. That you maybe have been brought up in a Christian home, and maybe you had itchy feet, and maybe you indeed at this present moment in time are found in the far country. You've got out from under mummy and daddy's jurisdiction. You're doing your own thing, coming and going as you please, with no thought for your soul. You've just, as it were, said, give me the portion of goods that are mine, and I'll be off. You know, whenever he got to the far country, we see the prodigal, when the jingle of money was in his pocket, he had all the friends that he wanted. But you know, when he had wasted his substance with riotous living, what does the word of God remind us? It says that no man gave unto him. The friends were gone. And you know, as he's at that lowest point, as he finds himself filling his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, he was down at rock bottom. What does he think? He says, I perish with hunger. But what does he go on to say? He says, I will arise. I will arise and go to my father. What does he go on to say? And he says, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, would you not come tonight just like the prodigal? Would you not come in repentance? Would you not turn away from that sin that's going to take you down to a lost eternity? And tonight, would you not turn away? And as it were, would you not return to the Father? What sort of a reception did he get? You know, he had it all worked out in his head, but it didn't turn out as he planned. What did the Father do? You know, he saw him coming. He saw him coming from afar. And oh, what a welcome he receives. What does the Father say? He says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. What's that a picture of today? It's a picture of the garment of salvation. And he says to put a ring on his finger. There was that new relationship. What does it go on to say? It speaks about putting shoes on his feet. No longer a slave to sin, but he was a free man. Wonder, dear friend, tonight, would you not consider where you are? Not only are you in the far country, but dear friend, tonight, that sin that is within your life, it has left you at a distance from God. And not only are you at a distance from God now, but if death were to overtake you like the rich farmer, you know, dear friend, you'd find yourself in that awful place called hell. What does the word of God tell us concerning it? It says, where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. But dear friend, tonight, yes, we're sinners in the sight of God. Each one listening in tonight, those of us that are saved by grace, that's all we are, a sinner saved by grace. But I trust that tonight that that would be true of you ere our little meeting would come to a close. As I move on to my third point, and as we move into John 14, as we consider the Savior, and he says at the start of our reading, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, dear friends, we're in chapter 14. We turn over a few pages to chapter 19, I believe it's what he was speaking of. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, dear friends, the Savior left the splendor of heaven. He came into this sin-cursed scene. Praise God for that one that was born of the Virgin, born without sin. You know, as we see that little innocent baby born and laying into that manger in the outside place. You know, if you haven't received him as your Savior tonight, he's still in that outside place. But I trust that tonight as we consider him, that one that would grow up, we see him even at the age of 12, sitting in the midst of those doctors both hearing and answering their questions. As we turn on over in the Word of God, surely when we get to John 19, we see him there in the midst of the malefactors. Dear friend, tonight, what does it mean to you? The scene at Calvary. We see the Savior who endured so much at the hands of men. We considered this morning the wounds that he endured. We saw that one that had that crown of thorns upon his brow. The sin, the thorns of sin and the curse that we read of in Genesis, it became the thorns of that crown that was upon his brow. We see the Savior who endured that scourging of that Roman lash. As he would have been bent over that whipping post, And as that lash would have come down upon his back, and as it would have wrapped around his chest, and as that soldier would have pulled it back, it would have torn the flesh from his body. Oh, how much he endured. The foul spittle of man that ran down his face. How that they buffeted him. How they pulled the beard from his face. And dear friend, that was before he even got to the cross. You know, the Savior was in such a state that they had to call one to come and to bear his cross. Can I take you to Calvary tonight? Can I take you to that scene as we see that cross of wood laying out on the ground? As we see the Savior laying out upon it? You know, I believe with all my heart that those Roman soldiers that I would have seen so much over the years, those criminals that would have been nailed to the cross for crucifixion, what a struggle it would have been as they kicked and as they tried to set themselves free. How that they would have hurled abuse at those soldiers. But yet I believe that the Savior came forth, just laid himself down upon that cross, held his hands and his feet in position for them to be nailed to the cross. Didn't the hymn writer capture it so well when he penned those words, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree. As the cross they upraise and the multitude gaze on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary." Dear sinner friend, tonight we have thought about the "I will pull down my barns." But the accumulation of things in time and sense. But dear friends, as we moved on, we thought of the prodigal. He said, "I will arise." I wonder, dear friend, tonight, will you arise? Will you arise this evening and will you get yourself away to the foot of the old rugged cross? Would you observe the Savior hanging there by the hands and by the feet? That one who loved us with that everlasting love. You know, as we move on in our thinking, we consider how God clothed the scene in darkness. And you know, there in those hours of darkness, it was made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, he suffered so much at the hands of men. But yet as he entered into those hours of darkness, we'd never be able to understand or even try to explain what the Savior suffered there. But you know, dear friend, maybe you are thinking, "Well, Nigel, maybe it's just a case that I need to try to do a wee bit better. Maybe, and you know, even in these times of lockdown, you know, maybe I should go and knock on my neighbor's door and ask them, is there anything that I can do for them? Maybe I should start to give money to some of these charities. Maybe I should be like Captain Tom Moore and start to walk to raise money for the NHS. You know, dear friend, tonight all of these things are very well and good within their place. But dear friend, none of these things will get you one step closer to heaven. What did Paul write to the church at Ephesus? He said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast." Dear friend, tonight, the Savior has been to the cross. The Savior suffered in those hours of darkness. You know, I want to move on. They want to consider the Savior as he cries in triumph, "It is finished." And then I want you to observe the scene. As those soldiers come, and as they examine those bodies and they find the Savior, and what does it say of him? It says that he was dead already. That the prophecy might be fulfilled. His legs had no need to be broken. The legs of those malefactors would have been broken to have speeded up their death. But you know, there was a soldier and he came forth. He just plunged a spear into the Savior's side. Dear friend, tonight, we can tell you concerning that crimson tide that flowed therefrom. Praise God, we can say in truth, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Praise God, I can say in truth tonight that it was shed for me. The Savior has been to the cross. He has died in our stead. Those loving hands came and took him down from that cross. His body was prepared and wrapped in the grave clothes, and he was laid into that new tomb. You know, that great stone was rolled to lock him in. And it was sealed. But praise God, tonight we tell you concerning a Savior. Not only a Savior, but a living Savior. For dear friends, on the third day, God raised him from the dead. You know, dear friend, tonight heaven's stamp of approval on the message of the gospel is the very fact that God raised him from the dead. I come tonight not to present to you a dead Savior. Not like any of these that the religions of the world proclaim. People that you can go and see their tomb. But I come tonight to tell you concerning a living Savior. One that's no longer held to the cross by the nails. One that's no longer trapped in the tomb by the great stone, for it was rolled away. Not to let him out, but to let the people in. Praise God, today he's a risen Savior. But sinner friend, today, as we preach the gospel tonight, it brings a smile to everyone's face that's saved by the grace of God when we say these words, I will come again. You know, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said that the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout. You know, dear friend, it goes on to say that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I wonder, sinner friend, tonight, will you be caught up or will you be caught out? I trust that tonight that you might be wise, that you might forget about the project on the farm, about pulling down the barns, that you might be wise and become like the prodigal, that you might say tonight that I will arise, that you might get to the foot of the cross tonight and see the sinless, spotless Lamb of God dying in your stead. This is the one who has promised that I will come again. You know, I wonder, could it even be today? You know, I have this notion in my head that when the Savior comes to take me home, that it's going to be a beautiful day and the sky is going to be clear. But you know, dear friend, I'll put up with the hailstones and the snow and the rain just to get that first glimpse of Him, the one that loved me, and the one who indeed gave himself for me. The clock's going to beat me. We read in John 20 concerning Thomas. We read those solemn words that I will not believe. I wonder, is there any under the sound of my voice tonight? Maybe you're thinking, well, Nigel, I'll just take my chances. I have so many hundreds of acres of ground. And I will pull down and I will build bigger barns if I need to. And I will try to stretch out and buy more property and increase my riches. And yes, I'm not going to be like that prodigal. I intend to stay far away. I don't intend to come running back. I'm just happy as I am. Sinner friend, tonight, as I draw my remarks to a close, can I just catch your attention for one moment? A terrible thing to have lived through life, to have been brought up in the north of Ireland, to see the scripture text on every lamppost nearly, to have heard gospel messages preached time and time again. As I was traveling today, There was a man preaching the gospel on the main street, and it fell in my hearing those words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I just want to ask you a question tonight. If you intend to stick with the farm, if you intend not to be like the prodigal and to arise and to return, if you intend to stay at that distance, can I just remind you tonight that it'll not only mean to live at a distance from God, but dear friend, to die at a distance from God will mean to be found in that awful place called hell. Dear friend, the sad reality of this is, as you have listened to this gospel message amongst others, even in these days of lockdown, maybe it is a sign that this is what God has to say to you. Maybe you wouldn't normally listen to messages like this, but can I implore upon you today that today without Christ would mean to open your eyes in hell. And then, dear friend, for that time to come, in a day ahead, Revelation 20 reminds us that the dead, small and great, would stand before God. Dear friend, to find that the books would be opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And what does John go on to say? He says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book was cast into the lake of fire." Sinner friend, tonight, be wise. The Savior is calling. I wonder tonight, would you not turn like the prodigal? Would you not come just as the words of the prodigal and say that I have sinned? No more worthy to be called thy son. Do you turn in repentance? Get a look to Calvary tonight and see the Savior dying in your stead. Realize that the price of redemption has been paid in drops of precious blood. Look at the Savior tonight upon that cross with his arms outstretched, and they're still outstretched this evening, and he would still say to you, "Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As we've already quoted today, those words, "Look at my hands and see. I bore the nails for thee. I died to set thee free. Will you not come and rejoice?" We've considered the prodigal, "I will arise." We've considered the rich farmer, "I will pull down my barns and build greater." We've considered these words of the Savior, that "I will come again." I trust that tonight, dear friend, if the Lord were to return tonight, that you already, just where you're sitting just now listening to this message, that you would have made your mind up like the prodigal to arise and to come, and to rest your all upon the finished work of Calvary, and be saved for time and for eternity. But I trust that there be none under the sound of my voice that would ever find themselves in that awful place called hell, with that perfect memory that we've already alluded to, and with these words ringing in your ears, remembering full well the time when you heard the message preached, when you were warned never to take these words upon your lips, that "I will not believe." We trust indeed that God will bless these thoughts to our heart this evening, and trust indeed that God would continue to speak even as my voice would fall silent, and that he might even save a soul by his grace this evening. We'll just close our meeting in prayer. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence another time today, and we do indeed come in and through the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee again, our Father, for the Savior. We thank thee for that one that left thy side to come into this scene of time, the one, our Father, that set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, We praise thee indeed for that one that couldn't be turned to the left or to the right, but the one, our Father, that knew full well what lay ahead, as he would go to the cross, as he would be nailed to that cross, and as that cross would be uplifted, as he would hang upon it, even in those hours of darkness. We praise thee, our Father, for that one that could have called for the legions of angels, but yet, our Father, he chose to endure the cross, despising the shame. So, our Father, we just give thee thanks for the Saviour again today. We thank thee again, our Father, for our own soul salvation, and our Father, for any interest that is within us to seek to reach others with this great message of the gospel. And our Father, we just commend ourselves to thee now for the days that lie ahead, as we commend ourselves into thy care, again in our Saviour's worthy and indeed precious name. Amen.